Tennessee Tigers football began in 1921. So coming up this fall, we'll kick off our 100th season of it. And can't wait. And, you know, as we go back over the 100 years of the sport here, we've had a bunch of coaches. One of them coached in the 1970s to the early 80s. Did some football. Did some baseball. We've had him on before. Obviously, you know who we're talking about. Coach Ronnie Baines joining us on the wake-up call this morning. Coach, appreciate you coming on, and I hope you're doing well.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate the invitation and enjoy listening to you guys do the radio and go back a good ways with WTLS, with your dad. So, yeah, it was my pleasure to coach in Tallahassee and coach a little football and a little baseball there. I also coached a little girls basketball too, so don't forget that.
Don't want to leave that one out. I was going back. We've had you on a few times, and I was listening to some of the old interviews, and one of them you were talking about how you ended up here and how you didn't realize at the time you were a young coach. You coached up in the Birmingham area as an assistant with Banks and how good that program was. And about to get an opportunity to coach at Tallahassee came around, and you asked your wife about it, and you might want to fill us in on that, but she was born here. That's a very interesting story in itself.
Yeah. It, you know, I've always said that you know, I spent 18 years in Tallahassee. I was there for 18 years. Was a God blessing right there. It came at what happened was when I came out of Auburn, I actually signed a professional football contract to go play with the Dallas Cowboys, but I had a couple of injuries, and I got offered a coaching job in Birmingham, so I got into coaching and went straight into coaching and coached for a year and a half in Birmingham. Then I got a head coaching job. I was 24 years old and got a head coaching job at Selma High School in Selma. And I was there for 4 years, and I got out of coaching. Well, as soon as I got out of coaching, I moved back to Talladega, worked Alabama School for the Deaf. I also knew your dad there, by the way. He was living in Talladega at the time. But I knew I'd made a mistake, so I was looking to get back into coaching. And after a couple of years, I went and started back coaching at Talladega High School. I was coaching track and coaching ninth grade football, but I was looking for a head coaching job, and I came home one day, and my wife Marie met me at the door and said, "Well, I think I've got you a head coaching job now." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Where is that?" She said, "In Tallahassee, Alabama." She said, "You ever been to Tallahassee?" I said, "I have never been to Tallahassee. I have." I said, "I had a teammate, Mac Bell at Auburn, who was from Tallahassee, so I knew about Tallahassee. I had a basketball teammate at Auburn, Curtis O'Daniel from Tallahassee, so I knew about Tallahassee, but I had never been to Tallahassee." Now, she and I have been married over a year at this time, and I said, "Have you ever been to Tallahassee?" And she said, "Well, I was born there." She said, I was born there, and I lived there through the first grade. She said, "We moved to Selma after I finished the first grade." And I said, "Well, you know, that's information I didn't know about." So we kind of, she actually had a relative living in Tallahassee when we moved there. And so I came for an interview, and it was the first time I'd ever been here, and interviewed with Mr. Little and Mr. MacArthur, who was the principal at the time, and really, really, really liked it, did well. And so we moved our family to Tallahassee and stayed and raised all the kids there, and it was a great experience. And we our kids still talk about all the things in Tallahassee. And so that was my getting back into coaching. But now the good part about not having been in coaching was that I started officiating during that time, started refereeing football, and it kind of led to a nice little career, too, right there.
No doubt. You know, before we kind of talk about the Tallahassee years, I don't know if we've ever really kind of broken down your years as an athlete and coming up at Talladega and what you did there. You're a multiple sport athlete, and then you had to, you know, it's very rare to hear of multiple sport athletes go to college and continue with that. And of course it is today. And that back then it was a little bit more common, but you did football, basketball, and baseball at Auburn, right? And talk about what you did at Talladega too.
Well, just add track to it.
Yeah.
I did football, basketball, and baseball, and track, but I also did swimming too. That's another Tallahassee story too. We used to swim against Tallahassee. Tallahassee had a real good swim team. Talladega had a good swim team. My last year in Talladega, I was a swim team coach, and so when we moved to Tallahassee, we actually got in the moving vans and came in and moved into Tallahassee. I was coaching the Talladega swim team against Tallahassee in Tallahassee, and we came that Saturday for a swim meet, and the movers moved us in. The kids swam the Talladega on Saturday, my last coaching swim team coaching on Saturday, and Monday they started swimming for Tallahassee, and they actually went to the state swim meet as Tallahassee swimmers. So we came and changed right there. So yeah, you can throw. I did football, basketball, baseball, ran track, and swam on the swim team, lived right across the street from the tennis court. So I played a little tennis too right there.
Did it all. You I think when we talked earlier, you said, you know, baseball is always your love, and we know about that. But at Auburn, back then when you played for Coach Jordan, and as far as football goes, and it is interesting to go back. I started looking at some of the scores. The game has changed a little bit. You know, you don't have any 3-0 games and 10-7 games like you did back then. But you played defense, and you mentioned the Cowboys offer that you had. So obviously, you were pretty good.
Well, I God blessed me with a little athletic ability, but the football's what it is. I got hurt my freshman year. I hurt my shoulder. I played one game healthy at Auburn. I played the first game as a freshman healthy, and then I hurt my shoulder in practice and ended up playing the next season with it. And it kept coming out. It was a dislocated shoulder, and it kept coming out. And so finally they operated on it and got it fixed up, but it kind of slowed me down. And then I finally started getting about my senior year where I was doing about halfway decent with my shoulders. And I tore cartilage in my knee, just a little old weird thing. And back then, Michael, surgeries were not what they are now. They knew very little about sports injuries like that. And it's kind of a real developed science now, but back then it was they just didn't know really kind of, you know, like I stayed in a cast for like 7 weeks, and the atrophy that you get from a cast for 7 weeks will kill you. So really the injuries kind of took its toll on me at Auburn, but I still was able to play and enjoy the sports and that type thing. And finally when it came down to deciding between professional sports and coaching, I chose coaching, and I think it was a wise choice for me.
Well, I want to talk about the Tallahassee years. We all know about the history of Tallahassee football and how good it was in the 1940s under Coach O'Brien. We had a couple of good years here and there after that, but really we were on a downhill slide throughout the 60s. There were a couple of 7-win seasons under Tank Mitchell, and you kind of came in. Coach Webster, who was such a winner at Real Town, struggled as a head coach at Tallahassee. You came in after that, and it wasn't, you know, winning season after winning season. Talk about some of those years. You had some good years, but then again, there were some that weren't so great.
That's a good description of them. And I think the big thing with Tallahassee football, and I think it's, you know, we were good when we had good players. It didn't matter who the coach was. I think there have been a lot of great coaches and good coaches that came through Tallahassee that had their up and down years like we did and during that time. But I think the key was when I came to Tallahassee, we were the second or third smallest. There were only four classifications. There was 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A. we were the, I think, third smallest 3A school in the state. And we were playing Auburn, Opelika, Valley, Wetumpka, Stanhope Elmore every year, Benjamin Russell, during times in which they were really coming on strong as a football team. I think we were competitive. We were always competitive, but we were only we had up and down years in terms of how well we could compete at that level. And I think when we went to six classifications and Talis dropped to 4A, it put us in a situation where we were a lot more competitive and a lot better in that type of thing.
No doubt you had the competition was really good. I mean, I guess your best year was the 76 season when you went 8-2. You had bookend losses to Lynette, who was always good, and Stanhope Elmore on the front in the end. But an 8-win season. Among the victories that year, you beat Elmore County. They ended up winning that 2A championship that year, and their only loss to Tallahassee that season. Talk about that team.
I'm going to tell you, that was a heck of a game. That was one of the most exciting games. The competition between Tallahassee and Eclectic was real good. Coach Burks was doing that. Had such a good program over there, and it was. He was such a great coach and enjoyable. And that game, the stadium was packed about 6 o'clock that night. It filled out. There were people starting to come in and get seats at about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And by kickoff time, that whole stadium, the seats were gone by 6 o'clock at night, and the stadium standing room only and all the way around. And it was a heck of a ball game. It was an offensive struggle through the whole ball game. We thought we had a real good defense. They thought they had a good defense, but neither team could stop each other. So it was whoever had the ball last was going to end up winning the ball game. And I remember we got it late in the ball game, and we had to go. We went for it on fourth down about three times to keep from having to punt to them, because we were scared that if we punt to them, they were going to score again and win the ball game. So we kept the ball on the offense that whole last quarter as much as we could to hold the score down, and then we ended up winning the ball game. It was a great win for us. You know, we lost that first game to Lynette. Lynette went on to win state championship that year. We lost that first game to them with probably just one of those games that just everything went their way. Nothing kind of went our way. We fumbled the ball on like the 1 yard line, and they had a 1 yard touchdown. All this kind of stuff. We just did some things that we didn't normally do. We came back the second half. We were behind 21-0 at half. We had given them a cheap long touchdown. We'd give them a fumble on the 1 yard line. They'd gotten 20. Well, we came back and scored 14 points second half and shut them down, and we were really, really coming back, and we kind of ran out of time in the fourth quarter, and we kind of ran out of some juice too. We kind of most of our kids went both ways, and it was such a competitive game. And Lynette goes on and loses the Valley that year, and we beat Valley pretty good. We beat them about three touchdowns.
33-0, according to this.
Yeah.
Let me ask you the score on the Elmore County game, because I see two different scores, one on the Tallahassee page and one on the Elmore County page of the high school history site. Was it 25-22 or 29-22? Which one sounds right to you?
29-22 sounds a little more like it. I know
I think it sounds
less
good to me
than
too.
A touchdown. It was a few points in there, but it was less than a touchdown. If we'd given them the ball back, if they scored, they would go ahead in the ball game.
Well, I'll go with that. I'm going, we're trying to get, history right. 29-22, it was a big win. On that team, Mike Stokes was All-State that season. Obviously, we talk about Randy, his brother, a lot, I guess, right? But Mike was pretty good too.
Right. And he had an older brother, Steve, that played. Steve yeah. was a good player, lots, too. Lots Steve hurt his knee. Hurt his knee his senior year and lost his senior year. Right? But he was a good player. He was a heck of a player.
As far as some of the games, you mentioned those games. I look at the 2-0 game, and people say, well, it was a baseball game. No, it was a game, it was a football game where Stanhope Elmore, we went 2-0. It was 1980. Can you talk about that? Right. I mean, you just don't see 2-0 scores in football. And it was a season-ending win at Millbrook.
Great, great win for us. That was a good team. That was a good team. I think we had some. I think it was a 5-5 team. We ended up 5-5, but we were really better than that. A little better coaching, a little dot and I crossing the T, but we ended up playing at the end of the year. Stanhope Elmore was like about 8-1 or 7-2 or something like that. We played them at their place. And you're talking about put a defensive job on them. We shut them down. We went to a new defensive approach with them. They had trouble passing the ball. So we went to a press type defense. We ran a split four defense, and we went to a man coverage and ran stunts almost every play, and we shut their offense down. To give you an idea, on the first play of the game, they called Randy Stokes for being offside. So Stanhope Elmore started the game 1st and 5, and they didn't make the first down. And we ended up getting the ball back. We controlled it all day. We went up and down the field. I tell you what, I don't want to fuss about officiating too much since I'm an official, but I think we scored twice in the game that they didn't give us a score on. We got down on the goal line twice, and I know one time for sure. I mean, I know one time Steve Moss scored down there on the goal line, and they didn't give us a score on it. They said he was short and all that kind of stuff. But we ended up, we backed him up. We didn't score. They got the ball back on about the half-yard line, but I'm telling you, we scored. They got the ball back on about the half-yard line, and they ran a play, and Dan Wilbanks was a defensive tackle on that team, and he beat his block and tackled. They had a running back, kid went on to – he was a great running back, but he ended up playing professional baseball. He also played a little professional football. He was that good.
As an Andrew Gilder, I think was his name. Yeah. It was the running back. Andrew Gilder, I think, was the name of the running back.
Yeah, yeah. He was a running back. He was in the end zone. He weighed about 210, 215, and was a big old kid. They ran a sweep out of the end zone, and Dan beat his block and tackled him in the end zone, and we held him, shut him down, beat him 2-0 right now.
I think somebody knows a little more about this. Dan, do you remember this play yourself?
Good morning, Coach. Dan Wilbanks here.
Hey, Dan. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing this good, sir. I'm doing,
well. I'll brag on Danny, he started for me for 4 years. He was a freshman center and played 4 years of football and had a little short career with the University of Alabama.
Short indeed, Coach. Short indeed.
Hey, great snapper, guys. He was a could center of football like old school guys could. There weren't many guys that could snap football like he could. And Alabama picked up on that and tried to get him to stick around and snap for him right there.
Well, Dan, I want you to talk about that play and winning that game and knowing that was the difference in the football game.
Well, certainly I think that's what people remember because that's how the score ended up. I have to tell you, I have some really distinct memories about that day and that particular game. Coach, I don't know if you remember this or not, but we warmed up. We did calisthenics and did a little bit of hitting and warmed up. in Tallahassee before we got on the bus to go to Stanhope. And I'm not sure why we did that, other than maybe we just didn't want to get over there and be standing around for a long time. And we hit the field, or we hit the stadium, maybe 30 minutes before the game. And the stands, as you might imagine, were already filled with fans. And so we got to the game, 30 minutes before kickoff. We had warmed up. We did a little bit just to kind of get our sweat going again. But Coach Baines mentioned it earlier, Michael. I remember distinctly the first series of the game. And, he also said earlier that, you win with good players. And I'm going to tell you something. Randy Stokes was as good as I've ever been around. And he stunted on that first play, and he hit Andrew Gilder after being offside. So they had first and five. He hit Andrew Gilder 3 or 4 yards deep. And I'm telling you, it set the tone of the entire game. So those are a couple of distinct memories. The other thing is we put in a little bit of a twist that week, where we would pitch it wide to Steve Moss. We all called him Moose Cat. You guys may remember Moose Cat, but we pitched it wide to Steve Moss, and we pulled Randy. So Randy was left tackle, and we may sweep to the right, let's say. Randy would pull, and I'm telling you, I really believe that tape, that game, is maybe one of the reasons that Randy got noticed, because he could run, and he was 6'4", 240, 250 in those days, and I really think that helped him get noticed, and obviously he went on to have a great career at Auburn. But, man, Steve Moss ran up and down the field all night, and as Coach said earlier, we struggled getting the ball in the end zone when we get down to the one or the two, and either we didn't get it or we just couldn't punch it in, or the referees, kind of were a little bit favorable, it felt like. But anyway, as Coach said, late in the third quarter, we had them down deep, and I think their quarterback's name was Mike Bush, and he ran a little play where somebody sort of blew it up right in the middle, and he had to go out wide a little bit, and I had beat my block and grabbed him and threw him down, and we were all excited. I'll tell you, though, it was still a nerve-wracking because it was late in the third, so we still had to hold him for the rest of the fourth quarter, but it was a great game and a great win, and one that people asked me about an awful lot. Trey has even accused me of falling down in the end zone and the guy tripping over the top of me. So
hold on, Dan. That's not what – that's what Doc Roberts told me happened. Now, and he didn't put that in the other day. I just threw that out there for Michael. Now, he didn't get the whole story. That was one of those – rodeo club trips where I was riding, we was talking football. He said, "Well, yeah, Dan, he just tripped there and fell over him over in the end zone."
Well,
but I
got to
tell you,
about.
That's not correct. We ran a split four defense, and Dan was in a three technique, so which is right outside the left guard's eye. And he ran that technique about as well as you could and hit the guy, and the guy didn't hook him, and the play goes outside of him, and he comes off that block and makes a heck of a play in the end zone. It was big time, guys. I mean, it was a good play. That's a inside guy. He was with three technique on the right side, and Randy was with three technique on the other side. So we had a linebacker by the name of Dwight Phillips played in that game, and he must have made 20 tackles in that ball game.
He was something, Coach. He was pretty good. Hey, Michael, quickly, I know we talk a lot about the 2-0 game, and I don't want to go too deep on this, but I got to tell you, maybe our best win of the year that year was against Dadeville, the fourth game of the year. Mm-hmm. We won the game 9-8. Talk about Steve Moss now. We couldn't do anything on offense, and they were ahead 8-0 most of the game. We were backed up, or we kicked a field goal in the third quarter to make it 8-3. But we called timeout late in the game, and we're backed up on our 3-yard line. And Jeff Webster, J.W., is the quarterback. He goes to the sideline, and he comes back. He goes, "Guys, hold them off of me. We think we got a touchdown." Well, I'm thinking we're 97 yards from a touchdown, and J.W.'s coming back saying we got a touchdown on this play. Well, I'm telling you, he kind of faked to the right a little bit on a look, not a boot, but just a fake, and he's kind of swung Moose Cat out on the left. He hit him in the flat about the 3-yard line, and it was wide open. Whoever called that play was a brilliant call, and he beat one guy. He juked one guy, and he went 97 yards for a touchdown, and we held on to win 9-8. So another great game that season, and I do agree with Coach. I'm biased, but I felt like we had a better team than 5-5. Stanhope stands out because of the score in the last game of the year. They were always a hard team, but that Dadeville game, man, that was a big win for us.
Yeah, well, that was, in fact, when we you're right, we called that play after a timeout, and I made everybody, in fact, old Jimmy Valentine on the sideline, who is the photographer, still tells everybody how I made everybody back up on the sideline because I told them that Moose Cat was fixing to come by here and score a touchdown right there. And I made everybody, even though we were down on the 3-yard line, I made everybody on our sideline back up. And sure enough, we ran a swing pass. We bootleg swing back to the left side, and he, like I said, he made some poor safety drop dead out there. He put a move on him so quick right there and then scored. And we had we didn't think Steve was going to get to play in that ball game. You remember that, Dan?
I don't remember.
We didn't think he was going to get to play. He had come to me with a little health issue about before the game. And then, in the bus going back, y'all sang songs to him. Y'all did a cheer to him. But you're right. That was a great, great win. That win stands out in my head as one of the fun wins we had. Dable had a heck of a team. They had a good team.
They did.
Dan, so, hey, we appreciate you coming on so much. It's good to go down memory lane with you. Hope we'll talk soon. Thank you for checking in with us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you all for having me on. Coach, good to hear from you. Glad you're doing well.
Good to hear from you, buddy.
Thank you, Dan. Dan Wilbanks. Coach, we'll keep you for a few more minutes. Coach Ronnie Baines with us. It was tough to make the playoffs back in those days. One team would make it, and it was region play. And, we had so many chances. But, we mentioned some of those players. And I think about the Wilbanks family. You coached so many of those players coming up on the football and baseball fields.
I did. Great story about that is, of course, their dad, Dr. Wilbanks, Danny was a great football player at Alabama. And he was big in football. He had those five boys, and he tells a story that he told them all five of them. He said, "Now, guys, y'all don't have to play football. But if you're going to eat at my table at night, you're going to play football right there." So all five of the boys played and did a good job. Did all of them played real well right there.
Yeah, good athletes that you carried over to baseball. You coach football, as you mentioned, baseball we knew, and girls basketball you told us about too. But you left football behind and went exclusively to the baseball side of things. What were you thinking then when, I'm going to be baseball, and I know you coached youth baseball and all of that coming up too, but it was different. I mean, we didn't have a baseball program, and we had Coach Webster on the air with us last week. He brought baseball back to Tallahassee High School. When you came in, you did both, but what was baseball like before the championships? And we all are aware of what happened in the 1980s when you got here, and won. So kind of talk about that and the correlation.
that's a good question. We, like I said, when I came here, they had started baseball back. It was a lot of pressure from the dads. Keith Peters' dad was big, wanted baseball back. Kim Timmerman's dad wanted it back. They put pressure on the school to get baseball back, and the Babe Ruth people went down and redid that ballpark down at where we play baseball now. They remodeled it, put the lights up, did everything down there. It was strictly a city type thing to do, and then they played in they played a little baseball in 74, the spring of 74, and then I came here in 74 in the fall and then played the next year, 75. We started playing. We had a good team, had a real good team that year. And then in the next year, the 75 team ended up being really, really good. But again, you had one, and I made a mistake that year. I made a mistake and didn't keep the kids. I let them have AEA holidays or spring break holidays off, and we came back and played Valley in an area game and lost. And we went on to beat Lynette that year bad, and Lynette ended up beating Valley, but Valley beat us head to head, so they won the area championship. We had some good teams back there, even further back than them. We had some good players in there, you know, and baseball was kind of solid. It was solid and competitive from the beginning right there. And during that time that I was there, I coached, but the difference was I was coaching football and coaching baseball. And then when it came time for me to step aside in football, I didn't want to make the same mistake I had made when I left Selma and got out of coaching. So when I was officiating football, my weekends were doing the game on Friday night and then driving all night Friday night to some place. Or if I had a Saturday night game, I'd have to get up early the next morning. There were a lot of Friday nights. I'd get like maybe 2 hours sleep, 3 hours sleep. So it came time I had to really kind of choose between coaching and officiating. And I was getting to the point where I was starting to work the big SEC games and that type of thing. So I chose to step aside as the football coach, which it was time for me to do that. But I didn't want to make the same mistake I made before when I got out of coaching, so I asked to keep baseball. And having transitioned from no football to just baseball was the little bit of bump that we needed to go from being a good baseball program to going to a great baseball program right there.
Yeah, you had some good teams in the 70s that we really never talk about. You the first year, you're 13-2. Yeah. You had a 12-3 season in there. I mean, you were winning seasons, like you said, but then it really turned around, and you talked about 85, the year you just missed the championship, was kind of the year that kicked off the championship run here at Tattlesee.
Yeah, that was the year. Two things happened. We dropped from 3A to 4A when they went to 6 classification. And then the other thing was I was riding down the road going to officiate a scrimmage in Athens, Georgia, and I was going by myself, and I was riding down the road. Of course, I was thinking about the baseball season. And I decided that Ronnie Baines had a heart-to-heart with himself about what I expected from the kids, and I put a lot on them. They knew that. They knew we did that. But I knew there was just one little bump in what we needed to do as far as where we were with our baseball coaching and to turn it around to not just being real good every year. We were actually good. We were in the playoffs every year. We played Alabaster, Thompson High School. We did all these type things. It was pretty good, but we weren't winning any championships. And I decided then it was time for us to start winning championships. And I started coaching like we were going to win championships. And like you said, in 85, we had a tough area, and we won our area. And we went over. We had Shane Yankee was pitching for us, doing a great job. Casey Davidson pitched for us, doing a great job. And we brought in some young kids, Michael Chandler and some of these others that helped that team. Jonathan John started as a freshman. We ended up having some good week, but we took it to another level. That was the big thing. We just took it to another level. And then we came in second that year. And we're competitive in the championship game. But then from that time on, it was a whole different bunch of kids and a whole different bunch of coaches, and we put it in high gear. I always thought if I could go back to football with that attitude I had about what I was going to do in baseball and have that time to coach it like I coached baseball, then I think my football career would have been a little better too. Right there.
What was the last year in Tattlesy as a baseball coach again?
92.
Yeah.
92.
And failed.
And that year we lost – that might have been – the most talented team we had. That was the group of kids that won the Dixie Youth World Series. That was the real outstanding group. And we thought in 92. Now we ended up getting beat by
Daphne
down in Daphne. Yeah, Daphne beat us in a 3-game series. But we Jonathan Rivers, who was probably supposedly the top 3 pitchers in the United States that year, had hurt his shoulder in football. And so we lost out on his pitching right there. But Derek Hescock stepped up as a pitcher, which he hadn't been. We lost Derek Baker during the year. We had another couple of seniors we lost that for various reasons. And we ended up still being real good, but we weren't quite as I think we could have breezed through in 92 if we'd had a healthy Jonathan Rivers, we'd have been a whole different thing. We still were very competitive, but we lost in a tough game, and we lost the championship game down there. I got kicked out of the game. I should have gotten kicked out of the game the way they were officiating down there. So it was just that. But 92 was our last year. And I'm going to tell you, the 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, those teams were still real good and loaded with a lot of talent too right there.
Yeah, and you and I have talked about this before, that win streak in baseball, which is really unprecedented. You had a 22-0 regular season in 1991. It just doesn't happen. I mean – how does that happen in baseball? I can you explain it?
Well, you know, our kids just had an attitude about baseball. You know, it's really good. I went to Mount Brook and started a baseball program, had some success there with baseball, but the kids were thinking about scholarships, or they were thinking about what I could do, whether I'm going to play, whether I start, and all this kind of stuff. And let me tell you, the attitude of the kids in Tallahassee were, it doesn't matter how you do it, we're going to go out and we're just going to play the other team. And I used to tell them all the time, you have two opponents. You have the other team and you have baseball. If you don't worry about the other team, but you worry about beating baseball. Baseball is a skilled, highly difficult game to learn and play, and play correctly and do all the things that you do. You know, we ran bases every day to the point where these kids had to slide 20, 25 times a day. It was a tough practice, do all that kind of stuff. And if you remember back, Michael, after we win a state championship, the first thing the kids would do after they piled up and huddled up and had a big time, they would all go to first base and run to second base and slide into second base. And everybody had no idea why they were out there running the bases, but that was part of their that part of all of our mentality, to play the game that way, to play it tough, to play it hard. We had a sports writer in Birmingham called Tallahassee Baseball Boot Camp Baseball. And it was my football background bringing the baseball. And the kids just had this tough mental attitude that they weren't out there just to be stars. They were out there as a group to be tough, to be hard-nosed, and to play against anybody you wanted to. You know, you talk about that 92 team. Our last ball game, we played one of the Montgomery private schools. I can't remember exactly which one. I remember we did, and we had a sports writer over there waiting to want to talk to me after it was over with. And we stunk the place up. And thank goodness old Derek Baker was pitching. He pitched a good ball game. But we stunk the game up, but we won. We won, but we didn't play very good. And when the game was over with, this was the last game of the year, we went to the outfield. We went out to right field, and we stayed about an hour extra, and we did our football agility drills, and we did our wave drills, and we did our running, and I was getting their attention. We were fixing to go into the playoffs, and we weren't playing very well, and they weren't going to play baseball against baseball. I don't care who the opponent was. They weren't going to play that bad. So that the writer wrote it up that he waited on us for about an hour, and he wrote it up that old boot camp baseball was out there playing, and we but when we got in the playoff, we were back into our mode right there, and you know, I didn't know about that record. I didn't know about the win team, and we went and played Benjamin Russell, and I played the second game of the doubleheader. We didn't have a junior varsity then, but I wanted to play some young kids in a varsity game because we knew we had pretty much a senior team. So I played basically our junior varsity against them, and we ended up getting beat by about two or three runs or something like that. It was a close ball game, and I didn't really worry about it a whole lot because we played good. We played competitive. We had an eighth grade catcher that was catching, Thomas Turner. We played John McKinnish at shortstop, who was a ninth grader, and we lost the ball game to a 6A school by one or two runs, but I didn't know about that win streak, so I cost us that win streak. That was all on me right there.
Yeah, apparently there was a 40-game win streak that you have a record with the state books on for baseball, and you had no idea of it.
I had no idea. I had no anything. All I wanted to do was develop. I was trying to develop players, trying to make sure we were ready for the whole season, and we played them a doubleheader. We played them with our regular varsity the first ball game. They pitched their number one pitcher against us, and we pitched somebody down the line. They didn't pitch Jonathan, didn't pitch Derek. We pitched somebody, and we beat the daylights out of them in the regular game that counted. And then the second game of the doubleheader, that's when I made all the changes right there, and that's when I cost us a win streak that I didn't know was existing right there. You know, my idea of a win streak was what counts in the playoffs, but they weren't counting the playoffs. And we lost one game that year. We lost in the finals. We lost in the finals to Pleasant Grove in one of the games, but we came back and won the series and won the championship, of course. But to me, that was a loss. I counted that was the only thing that hurt our undefeated season right there. So it was just, yeah, that was all on me. I didn't know about that.
29-1 and your fifth title here, and we know the rest of the story. We appreciate you giving us some time. I've had several messages. One guy says Scott Ledbetter was a great outfitter, and then I read the message. It was from Scott Ledbetter. Appreciate him sending that in. Another question
I'm going to tell you what, though. Bless his heart. He really was a great outfielder. He actually when we beat Daphne down there the first time in 91, we beat them two straight right there. He threw three guys out from right field. Really won the ball game for us. I mean, we shut them down, and they were a great team. They were probably one of the largest schools in the state playing in 4A baseball because they were a new school, right? And they got to stay back in the classifications. They were a 7A school playing in 4A, and we had to go to their place every year. We went down there, and Scott could do some things. Plus, let me tell you something. That kid could hit a baseball. He was my number three hole hitter, and he was a lot of fun. He was a good player. He actually should have been a college baseball player. He was good enough. I'll tell you what, If I'd have been a college coach, I'd have had him. I promise you that right there.
One more thing. I was asked to put this out to you. How many times did Mark have to walk home from practice, your son?
Not too bad. Everybody would pick him up after. the worst thing I ever did to Mark, I'd always ask my players every year, and I'd say, I know I get on to y'all. I know I expect a lot. That's not going to change. But who do I get on to and who do I expect the most from? And they'd all say Mark and Rusty. Mark and Rusty right there. So, but old Mark had a great senior year, but he had a college coach come to watch him, and his first time at bat, he popped one up to the pitcher, and he did not run to first base the way Coach Baines wanted him to run to first base, so he got to sit in the dugout for the next six innings right there. And so, no, he didn't have to walk home that day. He just didn't get to play that day. But
he has a record.
He had a few times.
There's a record. We have a kind of I guess it's a makeshift book as best we can put together over the years, and he is the one batter in Tennessee history that had at least 50 at bats and never struck out in a season, and that was 1988.
That is a legitimate stat that really happened. He did not strike out a year. In fact, the only time he struck out that year, he went to the East West tryout in Opelika, and he struck out that one time, and then came back in Clanton though and got about two or three doubles. He had a great year that year. He had gotten his knee hurt in football, and he had to sit out football season. So he had to go through the baseball off-season program. And by the way, that was another thing that contributed. Me not having football during the fall, I had a baseball off-season program for the kids that didn't play football. And they were ready to play football baseball when the season came around a lot better, too.
Yeah. Speaking of records, and I know I'm kind of jumping all over the place, but you got to go back for your 50th anniversary or reunion at your high school in Talladega when Tennessee played them in football. And your grandson, Brandon, which is Mark's son, breaks the single game rushing mark with 392 yards. Where does that stand out when you think about all these championships and other things you've been able to do? How about that night? That must have been something special.
That was something, wasn't it? That
it really was.
We had the whole family there, and we'd had a little class reunion, so I had my classmates there, and it was real good. And we had one of my classmates is a kid named Craig DePriest, who's gone now. But old Craig, do you know this, Michael? Craig, do you know who Craig DePriest is? Right there. All right, Craig grew up in Tallahassee. He moved to Talladega and was a teammate of mine in Talladega. But he grew up in Tallahassee. And when he got to Talladega, he had worked at WTLS. He was a radio announcer as a 9th and 10th grader for your dad in the radio business. And he came to Talladega, and he is a junior and senior in high school. He stayed on the radio. He had a couple of broadcast shows, and he went on to Auburn and graduated in Auburn, and in whatever communication, whatever. And he ended up being an anchor news for Columbus News. He was a big television announcer, radio announcer. He ended up being teaching at Columbus College, teaching, announcing, and all that kind of stuff. But he was there that night. That's what made me think about Craig. Craig was there, and when they introduced us before the game, he was he and I were the two guys that had the Tallahassee and Talladega connection right there. So I'm sitting up there with all my classmates and friends and all that, and they kick off, and Brandon runs a kickoff back for a touchdown to start the game. So that kind of set the tone for Brandon Baines playing in the old stadium where his granddad grew up playing right there.
Did you have any games like he had that night when you play?
Oh, Lord, no. I didn't come close. We didn't have, we were lucky to score a touchdown. You mentioned that earlier about football, college football. Yeah. You know, there were maybe 6-7 first downs in a game. Now they do 6 or 7 on the first drive of the game. I mean, you know, it was just a different kind of game. It was a run game. Wasn't much passing to it and all that kind of stuff. We had 3 plays in high school. We had 3 plays to the left, 3 plays to the right. That's all we had. And it was just a different game and a different time, but it was but yeah, Brandon was kind of special. And I'll tell you another funny about that night. We were all there, and he's got a first cousin who's now a freshman in college, but he was a little old young kid back then. He was about 12, 13 years old, and they had gotten out of the stands, and they had come down on the sideline. And Brandon ran one for about 80-something yards for a touchdown, and he came in the end zone, and his cousin Brooks was down there in the end zone, and old Brandon went over and said, "Hey, Brooks." And old Brooks said, "Hey, Brandon, how you doing?" He said, "That's pretty good, wasn't it, right there?" He said, "Yeah, I like that." And they chatted in the end zone after he scored a touchdown.
I guess you stayed in the end zone and get to see him quite a bit that night, it was an unbelievable performance.
Yeah. Boy, that's right there.
Well, Coach, we've thoroughly enjoyed it. We always enjoy catching up with you and kind of living old times. Appreciate your time this morning, and we hope to talk again soon when we see you down this way.
Well, I appreciate y'all having me. I can go on and on and on about those years, those 18 years in Tallahassee. Special time, special place, folks, and I appreciate it. Love all my players. Always did. I was tough on them, but I loved every one of them. And I know Tallahassee football is so special. I'm glad y'all are doing this, about 100 years of football. I appreciate y'all having me on. I really do.
Anytime. Thank you. All right. Hey, talk again. Thanks again, right. Coach. Coach Ronnie Baines, interesting. I know we could just spend another hour with him if we had it. But we appreciate his time as always. More coming up. The Wake Up Call continues on WTLS.